Let's begin this evening with a proverb to live by, and if you turn your Bibles with me to Proverbs 10, Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to read one proverb found in verse number 2. Verse 2, Proverbs 10, verse 2. I want us to read it together this evening in just a moment. So Proverbs 10, verse 2. Everybody there? All right, let's read it together, begin. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Again, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. I want to preach this evening on treasures of wickedness. Now, it is important to first understand, as we look at the last word, the word death, it has to be understood as it is used in the Scriptures. It can refer to literal death. It can also be used figuratively, as it is often used in the Scripture, and particularly as we look in the book of Proverbs. For example, the majority of the time throughout the Old Testament, it is used in reference to a man's natural death. At times, it is also used as well in reference to a man's violent death, as expressed by the judgment or the curse of God. But the third use that we find, particularly, for example, in the Psalms and in the book of Proverbs, it is used to speak of a man's ruin, of a man's trouble, sorrow, or a negative consequence or effect of evil behavior. Here, let me give you a few examples. For example, Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Now, obviously, it's not saying that literally with your tongue you can kill someone and put someone to death. He is simply saying that with your tongue, you have the power, the ability to encourage someone or to tear someone down. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can cause someone's ruin by your tongue, by giving a false testimony, or by speaking the truth, you can help someone. And so that's the use of the words death. The psalmist in Psalm 9:13 says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me." And then he says, "Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death." Now, obviously, the psalmist is not asking for the Lord's mercy for a resurrection, literal resurrection. What he is saying here is he has been in trouble and he has been suffering because of the hatred of his enemies. And so therefore, he is asking God to be merciful unto him. He's asking God to lift him up out of the gates of death. What does that mean? To lift him up out of trouble and out of the suffering that he's experiencing. Now, certainly, as we look at this Proverbs here, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. There is certainly an application we could talk about one's literal death. Certainly that application can be made, but I want to make the other application just for this particular lesson. I want us to consider, first of all, and I want us to see here as we look at particularly the first four words of this proverb, treasures of wickedness profit. I want us to focus on, now I know it says nothing, but let's focus on those words here. Treasures of wickedness profit. Now, the wicked think that treasures of wickedness do profit. This proverb is written to show that they do not profit. But I want to focus on that which the wicked thinks profits him. And I want us to beware of three things this evening. If we're going to look at this proverb, a proverb designed for us to look at and say, this is something we ought to consider about this life. Here is a warning about life or a guiding principle for our life. And I want us to consider, first of all, we must beware of a feigned cause. Now, the word feigned, I use that as something that is artificial, something that is not truth, something that is a made-up cause. It is a substitute cause. There are right causes, just causes, and there are unjust causes or wrong causes. And here I see in this proverb that we have to beware of a feigned cause. The proverb says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but the word profit is an interesting word. It properly means, literally this, to ascend. That's what it means. The specific Hebrew word is only used 21 times in the Old Testament. Consider a few of them. For example, Isaiah 44:10 says this, "Who hath formed a god, small g god, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing. So the idea here is that, right, you could go back to Exodus when the children of Israel put together a golden calf. What was that? That profited nothing. You remember they put a golden calf together and they said, here is the God who brought us out of Egypt. Well, we know that that's not true. That did not profit anything, that God was not alive then, if you would, in the proper sense. It is God that delivered them, but that's the idea. A golden calf, something that you built yourself, profits nothing. It doesn't set you forward. It doesn't cause you to ascend. But somehow, some way, in the Word of God, when people build up idols, they have this idea that that idol will profit them, will cause them to ascend. However, the opposite of that is found in Isaiah 48, verse 17, where the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. So we cannot ascend with a false God, but we can ascend when we are taught by God, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. But yet we go back to the negative. Jeremiah 7, 8 says, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. So when we think about here, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. The word profit implies that this is someone who is pursuing something that he thinks is useful, that will set him forward. This is the person who is only concerned about ascending, if you would, about setting themselves up. Therefore, they pursue things that are useful to their ascension and that helps and promotes, if you would, their ascension, their profit, what they think is going to profit them. This proverb reveals to us what I would call an ungodly cause, an ungodly objective, or a feigned cause. The goal, again, or the purpose is wicked, but what makes this man wicked, we know here the Bible says treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but the reason why he is wicked is because he has a feigned cause. He's looking at the wrong things for the answers in this life. This is the man who is not primarily concerned with righteousness, right? Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but then he says, but righteousness delivereth from death. So the reason why the wicked is not concerned with righteousness is because his cause is unjust. His cause is feigned. He is trusting in something that is not to be trusted in. In Luke 18, 14, Jesus says, everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The man here, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Here is the man who is trying to exalt himself. Here is the man who is trying to lift himself up. He is trying to ascend, and God says that is not the way you ascend. You see, self-exaltation, self-ascension is always the death of righteousness. Self-exaltation is always the death of righteousness. That's what I see in this proverb. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. And so when someone is given to wickedness because they have a feigned cause, something that they trust in that is untrustable, that exaltation, that which they try to make themselves ascend, always brings death to righteousness. So we see, first of all, beware of a feigned cause, but secondly, beware of frivolous conduct. The Bible says, treasures of wickedness. You see, behavior is determined by man's cause. We answer the question, why does a man do what he does? Since this man here is primarily concerned with ascending, that's all he wants, he will do what is necessary to ascend. Right. Why? Because his cause is to ascend. That's what he wants. And so the behavior does not matter when that is what he is concerned with. This man is not concerned with his behavior. That behavior matters very little when the cause is unjust. In Exodus chapter 20, you remember the last commandment? Thou shalt not covet. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What does it mean not to covet? Don't desire, don't lust after, don't dwell upon that which belongs to your neighbor, that which your neighbor possesses has been graciously given to him from the hand of the Lord. We call that, right, covetousness. But we ask ourselves here, why is a man covetous? Here is a man who is amassing treasure by wickedness. And he thinks that that treasure is going to profit him. Why? Because his cause is, right, he wants to ascend. That's what his goal is. And therefore, his behavior or his conduct is frivolous, because we find that here's a man who is not concerned with behavior. He is only concerned with ascension. And therefore, covetousness is nothing to him. It doesn't bother him. He is not bothered that he looks at his neighbor and he says, well, I wish I had that. I deserve to have that. Which reminds me of an illustration that I mentioned on Sunday night. You remember Ahab and Naboth? Ahab was the king of the northern kingdom, the nation of Israel, and he had a vineyard. There was a vineyard that was right by his house that belonged to Naboth. And he went up to Naboth and he asked him for his vineyard. And Naboth says, no, I'm not going to sell it. This is the inheritance that has been passed on by my fathers, and I'm not going to sell it to you. Now, on the surface, we think, well, Ahab did the right thing, right? Ahab came and he offered him money. If Naboth did not take the money, he was willing to give him what he said, a better vineyard than that which he had. And we know that Naboth rejected. And we know that Ahab was a covetous man, because when he went home, he turned over in his bed facing the wall and he pouted like a child. And his mature wife, Jezebel, came in and says, why are you pouting? Why is your spirit such? And she says, you're the king. Get what you want. You have the authority to do that. And we know that she conspired to have Naboth killed. They're called the sons of Belial, but basically they maligned his character. They lied about Naboth. And by the way, it was not just Naboth. It was all of his sons and his entire family. Why? Because if they did not kill the whole family, then Naboth's sons would receive the vineyard. And so he had to wipe out the entire family so that Ahab could come and purchase and get the vineyard for himself. But there are several things that trouble us about Ahab. First of all, the first thing is that Ahab was displeased with that which he did not have, while failing to see that which he did have. He had plenty of vineyards. He just wanted that one. Why was that Ahab's perspective? Because he was only concerned with one thing. It should be mine. I'm going to do what is profitable for me. It's right next to me. It does not matter who it belongs to. It needs to be mine. He was only concerned with what? Ascending. That which pleased him was this field, not that one over here. And therefore, he was covetous about Naboth's field. And then we find him, he thought himself to be entitled to a certain possession that was not his own. That's covetousness. I deserve that over here. And that which he could not acquire by proper means, he sought to acquire through evil means. When Naboth was killed, Ahab took possession of the field. But the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 21, verse 25, the Bible says, but there was none like unto Ahab which did sell himself to work wickedness. Here's that word. Wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. According to verse 25, Ahab was stirred up by his wife Jezebel. The expression stirred up means to prick, to stimulate, to move, to provoke. What did she provoke in him? It's yours. You're the king. Just take it. Ascend. Covet all you want and just take it. That right there is treasures of wickedness. Profit nothing. By the way, the prophecy from Elijah, you remember, was later, just as the dogs licked the blood of Naboth, so the dogs will lick your own blood in the same field. And he received the curse of God. In Luke 12, Jesus says, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That's not what life is about. So here's the thing. Beware of a feigned cause. Number two, beware of frivolous conduct. And number three, you see, conduct that we identify in our lives are revealing the fact that we have a feigned cause. Our conduct is the fruit of our cause. But thirdly, beware of a false confidence. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. But the wicked think that the treasures profit. Those treasures of wickedness profit. Now, the word treasures here is an interesting word. It literally means a depository, like a bank. It means an armory, a cellar, or a storehouse, or a treasure house. The word treasures here refers basically to a place or a room where we place all of the things we consider to be precious. It's interesting, as you study the pharaohs, when the pharaohs would die, they would build those pyramids and they would bury with themselves all their treasures. They did not want anybody else to have their treasures. You see, in the case of the wicked, he is trusting that his treasures, that his storehouse, that he is what he has gained through wicked means will profit him. He believes that his treasures will cause him to ascend, to be set forward. And yet this proverb states that treasures of wickedness profit nothing. The prophet Jeremiah has an interesting picture for us, and I believe it fits right well with this truth. In Jeremiah 17:11, Jeremiah says, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs, and hatcheth them not." You get that? Partridge, egg, doesn't hatch them. "So he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and all of his end shall be a fool." You see what the picture is here of those who become rich by not doing right? It's like a partridge sitting on an egg, but then not hatching the egg. In other words, it's a life where you amass a bunch of things and you do all your work to amass all that you can because you think that it profits you, and then you die and all those things are gone and you realize nothing profited me. It didn't help me in any way. Jeremiah 22:13 says, "Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong." Proverbs 11:7 says, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth." What is the hope of unjust men? Treasures of wickedness. Those perish. The expectations that they have that what those treasures will do for them, they never do for them. So treasures of wickedness profit nothing. But righteousness. I think that is interesting. He doesn't say treasures of righteousness. He just says righteousness. Righteousness delivereth from death. I believe that the primary application is not talking about eternal life. I believe the primary application is that the righteousness delivers from calamity, from sorrow, from ruin, from the curse of wickedness in this life. We should be primarily concerned here, not with, right, feigned causes, but we should be primarily concerned with the glory of God. And when we are become concerned with the glory of God, we will become interested in righteousness. You see, the reason why the wicked is not interested in righteousness is because he's got the wrong cause. But if our cause is to glorify God, then we will be interested in righteousness. And as such, a man's confidence is in the Lord. The Bible says righteousness delivereth from death. The word delivereth literally means to snatch away. By means, to save, to escape, to rescue. Righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 8:21 says, "That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." Who? Who will have their treasures, their storehouses filled? Those that love the Lord. Proverbs 15:16 says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith." In 1 Timothy 6:17, I'll end with this. Pastor Timothy was given a charge to encourage those who are rich in the church, and he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but who are we to trust in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So as we consider treasures of wickedness, first of all, beware of a feigned cause, beware of frivolous conduct, and beware of a false confidence. So that is our proverb to live by.